Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Last week of the season series. Have y'all enjoyed this one? I think it's been pretty good, honestly. You know, I preached a few of them. We've had Demetrius. Is Demetrius here this morning? He's going to be preaching next week. Y'all get in the house. He's got a word for you. But we're just so excited about what's going on. I love I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you know, I never really heard the story of David. Y'all don't need to be fanning that much. It ain't that hot in here. I got all the lights on me, and I got a flannel shirt on, too. But they've never really heard much of the David story, you know, and I grew up on that stuff, so I know all of it. So I'm just so glad we can unpack this to you. But let's review just a little bit. David was anointed king. He was the shepherd boy that came in front of his brothers, and Samuel anointed him king and then sent him back into the pasture to prepare himself. And then we find him talking about last week coming out to fight Goliath, the battle that he fought against the giant. And he was then, after that, he had that victory. He also was made captain over many of the armies. He won many battles. He became famous. Man, nobody wanted to mess with David. But Saul, the current king, what happened is he got jealous. And he hated David for that. He got really, David and Jonathan, his son, became best friends. I mean, they were besties. But Saul tried to kill him, so David ran into a cave. After all this rejection, I'll pray for me this morning. After all this rejection, after all this waiting, after all the preparation, and even the winning season, here is where David ends up in 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. The title of this message is Don't Cave In. David found himself in a place. Instead of being a king in a palace, he was hiding in a cave. Remember, David had favor with God. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. He'd won many battles in the physical. He was battling everything that he could battle, but now he had a very different giant that he was about to battle. The giant of the mind, come on, anybody have any problems with their minds every once in a while? The battle of your mind and loneliness and separation had creeped into him because he was there all by himself. And here we see David being very human in Psalms 42. You need to read the Psalms. The Psalms are so awesome to read. It's where he pours his heart out. He said, oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? You ever felt like God's forgotten about you? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Have people ever ask you when you're going through something, hey, I thought you was a Christian. You shouldn't be going through that. Here David is going through this too. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. In the cave season, David had to battle. Thank you so much. David had to battle against anger. Because he was the king, right? He said, why should I be in this cave? I'm the king. He had to go battle disappointment. He went from hero to zero. You ever heard of Hercules went zero to hero? He went backwards. He had to fight disappointment. He had to fight abandonment because he was there by himself. He was separated from his family. And he seemingly had lost his best friend, Jonathan. Can you ever been in that place? Loneliness. He had to battle that because he was all alone, and he was in there for a while by himself. Research suggests that loneliness can increase stress. It can take a toll on your mental health. It can heighten depression, anxiety, lower self-esteem, and cause sleep problems. And in the cave is where the mind can be your worst enemy. Anybody battle with the mind in here? From time to time, I do too. I'm looking at some people I know do, because I do. There's an old saying, it says it's mind over matter, or I got half a mind. And you have people tell you that, let me give you a piece of my mind. I want to tell them, don't give me too big of a piece because you don't have much left. But there is a battle for your mind each and every day. The mind is a very major giant in our lives. And sometimes it's the hardest one to overcome. Why? Because listen to this. The mind is the processor. It's the storehouse of our beliefs and our ideas. Mindy actually says to me all the time, what are you thinking? What's a typical man answer?
Nothing.
Most of the time, I'm being honest, women, guys are really not thinking a whole lot of nothing. But she says, you have to be thinking something. No, not necessarily, but maybe it's just something stupid that you don't need to know what I'm thinking of at this time. But she's always asking me that. It's estimated we have 48 thoughts per minute and 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Over 90% of those thoughts are the same thoughts. That means we're creatures of habit. And here's the big one I read, the statistic. 80% are negative. And you know negative, what it does? Negative thoughts are what? Draining. It's very interesting that thoughts that diminish your worth are proven medically to deplete your body physically. And it produces chemicals that weaken us physically. So what you think affects everything about you sometimes. No wonder by the end of the day, you're exhausted, right? You ever get home just like, I don't want to talk to nobody. My wife is an early bird. She gets up in the morning. But by about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I don't want to talk to none of y'all. My mind, she got us a marriage counseling one time, and it didn't start till 7:30 or 8 o'clock. I said, do not ever do that again. Because I was already checked out. I was already thinking about how I'm going to go to sleep here in just a little bit. But we're exhausted at the end of the day because we live in a very negative world. We live in a fallen world. 2 Corinthians says this, but I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, that your minds, listen, may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to God. We have a good mind, but sometimes it's led astray. Sometimes we listen to what the enemy says. I'm not getting ahead of myself, but what did he do with Eve in the garden? He started her thinking, doubting God, first of all. He caused doubt to come up, and he said, did God really say that? There are so many times in our own life, God, the enemy will come and he'll sit on your shoulder and he'll say, God didn't really say that, did he? Are you sure God doesn't want that for you? He also planted that thing of doubt thing to say that God's trying to hold out on you. He doesn't want you to eat of that fruit. God's got something he's hiding from you. He got uncertainty, bad thoughts toward God. Why is he holding out on you? He wants you to question the truth all the time. The enemy is always trying to get you to question what God is saying. He's always planting those little seeds in your mind each and every day. You see the good angel and the bad angel. You saw that. So he's always speaking into your mind to try to get you to think contrary to what God thinks about you. And then he says, you're not really, really going to die. God's he's being very dramatic right now. You're not going to die. Is he going to kill you? And then he used the other one, pride and ego. If you eat of this fruit, listen, it makes sense. You're going to be like God. Who wouldn't want to bite that fruit, right? And if he can't control us, this is big, he will distract us. What you see, listen to me, what you hear, what you experience, the music you listen to, the words that come out of your mouth, the environment that you're in, all affects what you think and how you process it. Y'all aren't very loud today. Because this is deep. We battle with this thing each and every day. And the environment that you're around each and every day affects how you're going to affect the rest of the world and your own life. So I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to get out from behind all of the negativity. It's going to affect what we think. And if we listen to the enemy, our thoughts can keep us captive. How? Because he's always using shame, regret. He keeps you stuck in the past thinking you'll never change. You can never do it. You're always going to be this way. It keeps you from trying new things and moving forward. That is the biggest one. If he can get us to stop and stand still or even go backwards, he's already won. He keeps us from making steps forward. But let's understand this. It's not what I used to do. It's what I'm doing now. Come on, that's so good, I'm going to say it again. It's not about what you used to do. It's about what you're doing now. Quit living in the past. Give yourself some grace. Come on, we are so hard on ourselves. Some of you are farther along than you even know. Some of you are doing better than you give yourself credit for. Come on, clap your hands. You're doing better than you think you are. Don't look back on what used to be. You got to look back on what God is doing right now. So many times we get trapped in the past and it keeps us from moving at all. We have to change our way of thinking. Romans 12:2 says this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Be transferred by the renewing of your mind. Transform means to change the nature or condition of the current state that you're thinking. Transformation happens. It means to convert. Many have changed their direction, listen to this, but not their thoughts. We've changed a few places we're going. We've changed a few friends we hung around. We've changed some of the other things that they say we need to change, but our thoughts are still stinking thinking. Because we're feeding our minds with, I'll always be this way. I know I'm beating this a dead horse, but sometimes we have to hear it multiple times. I'm a failure. No, just because you fail does not make you a failure. John Maxwell, Mandy's favorite, you fail forward to success. You're going to have failures. You're going to learn. You're going to learn today. How many learned some lessons from failing? Come on, all y'all get your hands in the air like you don't care. But have you made an effort? We have to make an effort to renew our minds. Renew means the act of making new. What happens when he starts coming in? We got to start confessing the truth over the lies. We got to start confessing. You've heard me say it before. I'm saying it again. We got to start confessing the truth over our feelings. Woo! Feelings get you in trouble. You got to start fighting lies with truth. When the enemy tries to tell you this is true, you got to say the word says, I am an overcomer. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a new creation. You got to remind him whose you are sometimes. You got to look in the mirror when he starts speaking to you and you have to say, no. I'm not that way anymore because I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed. I've been made new. I don't have to listen. I don't have to think that way anymore. Renewing is going to God sooner with your thoughts and your troubles rather than later. When you go right away, it helps you get over it quicker. But when you wait to the end of the day, it turns into a mess. It makes it harder to go to God. Why? Because you flooded your mind with all these negative thoughts. Have you ever thought something and then when the end of it came around, it really wasn't that bad? But you've made it, Pastor Johnny, something so big, right? We've made it grandiose in our minds. And all of a sudden, there's an answer to it at the end. We're like, why did I stress myself out for those 3 or 4 days? Looking at that. Take it to God sooner than later. So what kind of mind should we have? Thank you for asking. 2 Corinthians says this. For if there is first a willing mind, another translation says ready, is accepted according to what one has and not according to what one does not have. We have to have a willing and ready mind, quick to respond and willing to do what God says to do. That's the hardest part. We have to submit our mind to say, okay, God, what are you saying in this moment? And if you're saying to do this in this moment, delayed obedience is disobedience. Yeah. Come on, I heard a pastor say that. Delayed obedience is disobedience. I'll do it later. I'll obey later. No, we have to have a willing, ready mind to do what God's calling us to do right at the moment to do it. And the sooner and quicker that we do it, the easier it will be. You have to be so tuned in to what the Holy Spirit's saying. There's another translation that says, have a ready mind. Be available to God. So many of us want God to be available to us on our time when we want him. But God says, "When I need you to be available when I need you." When we start opening up our hearts and our minds to what God wants us to do, we'll start opening up our minds to go and say, "Okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it right now." Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above and not things on this earth." Oh, I'm guilty. You're guilty. We set our minds on the economy. We set our minds on 500 different things that don't really matter at the end of the day. If we set our hearts and our minds that we are the child, we have a child, a king, and he has our cattle on 1,000 hills, we don't have to worry about where our finances are coming from, do we? A mindset is a fixed attitude, a fixed set. Instead of setting our minds on the things around us, the problems, the circumstances, the relationships, we set our minds on Jesus because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. The word says this, we have the mind. Why we think the way we do? Because the word says we have the mind of Christ. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We have the answer. We have the mind of Christ. Let me encourage you that even though David thought he was unseen, God saw him. Just like he sees you now. You may think you're going through things right now. God just don't understand. Yes, he does. He sees you. He saw David in the pasture. He saw him through all those preparation times. Psalms 34:18. "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." For David, it was the worst of times. It was a cave season. It seemed like he had no money. He had no food. He had no friends. He had no weapons. He had nothing. But it also became one of the best of times in his life too. The only thing that he had to fall back on is his relationship with God. And those times when he thought about the pasture, when he was all by himself, where he had to lean on God, he had to know that God was with him during those times of loneliness and discouragement and grief that he was going through. It was God and David. There was no one else. So what did David do in these times? David was honest about his, come on, somebody got to listen to this. David was honest about his feelings. He didn't hide his emotions. He didn't hide anything from God. He poured it out to God. "God, why am I here? I feel all alone." Can I tell you, God wants you to come to him just the way that you are. You don't have to have the right words to say. You don't have to have eloquent things. Sometimes you just gotta say, "God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't understand it. God, I'm a little bit mad and I'm a little bit upset right now that I'm going through that." He wants to hear your raw emotions at times. Come on, don't be afraid to talk to God. A healthy response is to process the pain, but don't suppress it. We need to process those things. Learning how to process pain leads to your strength. You got to turn loose of your own ideas, your own wisdom. He abandoned himself completely to what God wanted him to do. In that cave season is when David quit and God took over. Come on, there's things in our lives right now that God's just saying, I just wish you'd quit. Come on. He's not trying to tell you. I just wish you'd quit. Why don't you just try it my way? You've been trying to figure this thing out for years and years and years, and you've not done it yet. Why don't you just lay it aside? Why don't you just quit and let me try it my way? This is the place in our life that we quit trying to make our plans come to fruition, and we surrendered and let God bring his plans to pass. Jeremiah 29:11, everybody knows it. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And God's not done with you. Philippians says, "And I'm certain that God who began a good work within you," he started something, he's going to finish it. "He will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He's going to finish what he starts, but he needs our help. We got to help him along that process. And what David did is David humbled himself. He repented. And he was able to be taught and corrected. If you turn around, God can make your mistake into a message. The cave season shows that strong faith does not mean absence of struggle. Somebody got to hear that one. It doesn't mean you're not going to have some troubles. I wish I could say it's always going to be easy, but that's not what God promised. He said, in this life, you're going to suffer persecution. In this life, you're going to be talked about. In this life, we don't even understand what there's other things going on for people just that are trying to, just trying to have church. Afraid when they go out, they're going to get their heads chopped off. Y'all, we got it so easy here now. We ought to be praising God for the freedom that we have. Oh, that's another story. Here's some practical things. When you're going through the cave season, one thing is confess it to God. Be honest, again, I said this, about your feelings. Because he already knows what you're thinking. But you know what? God wants to hear it from you. He doesn't want to hear it from a prayer request. He doesn't want to, I'm not down in all that stuff. Y'all be throwing your shoes. He doesn't want to hear it for what the pastor has to say or whoever laid hands on you. God wants to have that personal relationship with you to say, I don't understand this, God, but I trust you. I don't know why this is happening, but I know that you have a good plan for my life, and I know that what the enemy meant for evil, that you're going to turn it around for my good. Here's a big one, too. Ask for forgiveness. All the time, somebody just said. I'm not saying you got to walk around saying, I'm sorry, 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 I'm sorry. Some of us probably do, me too, sometimes, some days. I got to say, sorry, God, that was bad. I shouldn't have done that. But we need to be in a spirit of repentance all the time to say, God, if we make a mistake, if we say something wrong, you don't got to go to the altar every time you make a mistake. You just have to take it to the main priest and to his altar. That could be at your bedside. That could be in your car. That could be anywhere that you're at. But ask for forgiveness. Don't let it fester. Don't let it. If you make a mistake, just immediately take it to God. Here's another one. Ask God for help. Ask him for the help. Listen to this. For the ability for you to let go of the anger. God, I'm ticked off most of the time. Can you take that away from me? God, I'm angry a lot. Can you take that away from me? God, I have fear that sometimes grips me in my heart. Could you help and take that away from me? Sometimes I feel sorry for myself all the time. Come on, somebody. God, can you take that away from me? Because the problem is, if we don't ask him for help, we have a hard time getting rid of it and doing it on our own, in our own strength. The next practical thing to do is trust God day by day. God doesn't promise he's going to give us strength for tomorrow. He gives us strength for today, today. So many times we want what he's got for us next week, and we're not even walking in obedience of what we're doing that day. God said, don't worry. He says in the word, he says, don't worry about what tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient is the day. So let's trust God each and every day. And here's the last one. Don't quit. Sometimes we got to quit some things, but don't quit. Just because it gets hard, just because you don't see the fruit, we said it at Circle Up, just because it may be underlying, you're building something. Something is building in your life. Don't quit. Don't give up. God's got a great plan for your life, and so many times we quit so short of what he has for us. Sometimes, Sherry, we're right on the very edge of a breakthrough where God's about to take us to, oh, this has gotten hard. I can't do it. And we back up. God says, no, 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 don't back up. Jump. Ow, that hurt. Ow. These 60-year-old bones, they're not as elastic as they used to be. Ouch. But I ain't going to quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to jump off his stage again. That hurt again. Come on. Sometimes we just have to have a mentality that we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. We're going to go forward when everybody else ain't going. Go forward when everybody else ain't going with you. That's the hardest part right now at being a Christian, because we are so, you're crazy. I don't understand why you believe that way. But a lot of times what we have to do is we have to go forward when nobody else is going with us. And that's so hard to do, because we want to please everybody. God says we're coming to a time and an era of our life that we're living in right now. We're not going to be able to please everybody. I have found out. I need some music up here. I have found out this. You can't please everybody. When you pastor a church, you can't please everybody. Well, Pastor, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help myself. You change things, and it still doesn't help. You do things differently. Somebody else don't like the way that you've done that. Oh, I'm being vulnerable to you all right now. You think that in your life, too. You don't change for someone else. Be who you are. And God, you know, God's going to take care of the rest. Jason, he's going to take care of the rest of things in your life. That was free, y'all. I'm going to get over this jump here in a minute. But don't quit. Don't matter how afraid you get, how anxious you feel, how fearful you are, you're hopeless, you might feel hopeless. Don't quit. The lies in your mind, don't believe them. God will never, ever, ever, ever give up on you. Says the heights of heaven to the depths of hell. If you don't make it into heaven and you go to hell, can I just tell you this much? God has loved you all the way. He's loved you all the way there. He loves you no matter how destructive you are to your life right now, how bad you think you are. God loves you right where you are at today. So if y'all would stand with me, he's never going to give up on you. He gave me chance after chance. I just love that song because that's my life. I'll never grow tired of telling you you're worthy because you gave me chance after chance after chance after chance. The cave was not a hiding place. It was a transformational place. David was transformed by the renewing of his mind in Christ in that cave. This morning, I'm going to ask you, we laid our giants out in front of us last week. Prayer team's going to be up here. If there's anyone, I'll be up here too after I get a breath, man. But if you're battling with your mind today, you need somebody just to agree with you, to pray with you, or if you just need to pray on your own, say, God, I'm bringing this to you today. These altars are going to be open during this next song. God wants to do something transformational in your life. If you don't know Jesus, that's the start. That's the best place to start right now is to get a relationship with him. So as I get ready to sing this song, again, let's not make it just another song that we sing. Let's make it a transformational song. God, I'm not leaving here thinking the way that I think. I'm not leaving here the way that I walked in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.